Hi, my name is Bree, and I have the privilege of serving as Chief of Staff here at Transformation Church. At TC, our vision is to represent God to the lost and found for transformation in Christ. And we just want to say thank you so much for tuning in from wherever you're watching from. If you haven't already, be sure to like and subscribe. We believe that God has a word just for you. So let's jump into today's message.
I have an assignment to speak a word to you that is both challenging and transformative. So if you came in here today to be entertained, you may want to turn on YouTube right now and go watch something that just makes you feel good. Today, my assignment is to help you transform. So the weight of my words are not just my words. They're the word of God going into, watch this, his word or his breath in life. He put his hand in dirt. Us. So today his word is going to speak to his word. Oh my gosh. What do you have to use to say words? Breath. What he created you with. So he's going to use the breath that he breathed in his word to speak to the breath he put inside of you. And I believe today there's going to be a transformation that comes for those whose hearts are open to receive it, okay? So I need you to be attentive today. I only got a few minutes with you today, and I got a lot of content, but I think the way that this transformed my life, it has the potential to do the same for you. And even as it is my job and my duty and my command from God to lead you on a spiritual journey, I want to tell you about something that's coming up that is going to be an opportunity for us to take another step. Everybody say step. In our spiritual journey. And if you know anything about Transformation Church, we follow the pattern of God, not a playbook of how to build a church. So I go back to the word and I try to find things that we can put in place in a modern way to help us take a step together. And one of the things that we have done for, I mean, several years is at the end of every year, we pick a date that we are going to, as a church, come and give in crazy faith an offering that is above our tithe and above our offering to help expand the vision of this house and be able to help move things forward. But we do it with no campaign behind it. We do it intentionally with like, oh, now this is going to help the children's ministry or this, because a lot of times if our giving is motivated by what we get, it really isn't generosity. I know everybody wants it to be like, oh, I'm giving so I get this. But at TC, we made a decision that every year, God, whatever you say to give, if it's $2 or $2 million. Only one come on at the 2 million, and I appreciate you. I pray God blesses you real big. But the truth of the matter is, when I say that number, some people have never fathomed giving that away. They only desire to have it. But God gives seed to the... And he's never going to leave you empty. And so sometimes we got to take our faith up and step outside of what we've done. And so I'm telling you, December 8th, as a church, all those who are in this room and those who are around the world in Transformation Nation, we're going to be having our crazy faith offering where people come from all over the world, where they give, where they come, where they sit down and teach their children, ask their husbands and wives, what is God speaking to us to give? And this year, I felt like God strongly told me that I was supposed to retitle this. This wasn't supposed to be the crazy faith offering. It was supposed to be the crazy fruit offering. As this was a year that God said, I want you to produce fruit in your life at another level. Well, I begin to think about it. There has never been fruit without seed. And I just believe that it's our time to take another step in our journey. There is no manipulation. No, I'm telling you weeks in advance. I'm not saying today we give it. I'm not saying stand up, everybody that got 100. I'm not doing none of that stuff, because the Bible says very clearly that you should give what has already been purposed in your heart to give, with no compulsion, nobody making you feel bad. No, and so that's why I'm trying to do this with time. God's going to speak to you. And all I'm asking you as a church is say, God, What am I supposed to give? And if he tells you something, don't say, that is the devil. Because the devil will never tell you to give. Because he does the opposite than God. For God so loved the world that he... It's God's character. It's what the devil hates. And whatever he says to do, all I'm going to ask you to do is obey. Amen? So I wanted to put that out there so you can begin to put that on your prayer list and put that on your refrigerator. Start beginning to talk about that with your husband and wife on date night. And we're going to see the kingdom of God expanded because of our generosity. Amen? Well, welcome to week 6 of a series we're calling, somebody help me say, show me the receipts. Show me the receipts. And I feel like God has told us that there should be 9 receipts that we have proof of our relationship with him. He outlines them in his word as the fruits of the spirit. It's proof that you have relationship with God. And the truth is, many people who quote scriptures don't have proof that they spend time with God. Many people that wear crosses don't have proof that they spend quality time with God. Many people that sing gospel songs don't have proof. And the world right now is saying to all churches, all believers, whether you're on a platform or you're in a barbershop, they're saying, show me the receipts. Give me proof that you're different than me. Yeah, I do this. Yeah, I do that. Yo, I do. But you get angry just like me. You have the same reaction that I have. You ain't got no peace neither. Like, what is the difference? And the Holy Spirit says, come spend some time with me. Abide with me. Stay with me. Get in my presence. Let me develop in you the fruits of the Spirit. Because if those are not developed, the fruit of your flesh will be developed. And I want you to hear me say this very clearly and very precisely. These 9 fruits are what God wants our life to look like at the end of the day. That people would not be able to say your name, but they would be able to describe your life by these things right here. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. They need to be able to say, yeah, I know them. They're filled with love, joy, peace, patience. Yeah, they're a person of kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Man, they're gentle and they have self-control. And they didn't do that on their own. These things were provided through the power of the Holy Spirit. So if you look at any of these fruits of the Spirit and you're trying to figure out a natural way to get them without God, you are already setting yourself up for failure. Every other thing is a cheap counterfeit. And so today, I said, Lord, how do you want me to bring people into this next fruit? Because we've talked about joy. We've talked about patience. But this next one, I needed a little help, and the Lord began to minister to me as I was reading something to my children. And for all of those that sometimes say, you know, Transformation Church is a bunch of hype, and you know what I'm saying? I need to get to the deep things of the word, and I need to go deeper. I'm glad that you said that, because today the word comes from a well-known author, Dr. Seuss. See, I don't need you to be impressed with me. I need you to get what the word is trying to say. And so I looked, as I was reading this to one of my kids, this story is called Horton Hatches the Egg. And I don't know if some of y'all are too grown for something like this, but I can find God in everything. And look, y'all, when I tell you this book started ministering to me, this is about an elephant that meets a bird, and a bird is tired and wants a vacation. And so this elephant decides to take on the responsibility of being consistent for this bird so that an egg could hatch. So I'll preach this for the 40 minutes I have. I promise you I will. So the bird goes off on vacation, but the elephant decides to make a promise that he will stay in place until this egg hatches. And you got to read the whole thing on your own time, but we're going to have a little Transformation Church story time right now. It says, "Very well," said the elephant, "since you insist, you want a vacation, so go fly off and take it. I'll sit on your egg and I'll try not to break it. I'll stay and be faithful. I mean what I say." I said, "Okay, stay and be faithful." Then I went a couple more pages and said, "And he sat all the day and he kept the egg warm. And he sat all night through a terrible storm." Now, some of us experienced a terrible storm last night here in Tulsa, Oklahoma. You still ain't got no power, okay? Here we go. "It poured and it lightened. It thundered and it rumbled. This isn't much fun," the poor elephant grumbled. "I wish he'd come back, because I'm cold and I'm wet. I hope that that bird doesn't forget." And I don't know if you've ever been in a place where you're doing something for somebody else, and it seems like they forgot about the sacrifice that you were making. But I don't know. I don't know about you, but it hit me. Then I went a couple more pages. I'm just sharing some highlights. You should really go get it. It's real nice. "So Horton kept sitting there day after day. And soon it was autumn. The leaves blew away. And then came winter. The snow and the sleet. And icicles hung from his trunk and his feet. But Horton kept sitting and said with a sneeze, 'I'll stay on this egg.'" That's what it said. Why y'all say it with a sneeze? I'm just trying to bring it to life. "And he said with a sneeze, 'I'll stay on this egg and I won't let it freeze. I mean what I said and I said what I meant. An elephant's faithful 100%. At this point, I was reading a Gigi and I was doing a pastor role. Hey. I was. Okay. It said, "They laughed and they laughed." He stayed consistent when people were ridiculing him. "They laughed and they laughed. Then they all ran away. And Horton was lonely because he wanted to play. But he sat on the egg and continued to say, 'I meant what I said. And I said what I meant. An elephant's faithful 100%. I'm gonna read one more. This is the point where hunters came to kill him, because he was more valuable to them dead. He's sitting there with hunters pointing. Oh my God, this hits me. It said, "Did he run? He did not. Horton stayed on that nest and he held his head high and he threw out his chest and he looked at the hunters as much as to say, 'Shoot if you must, but I won't run away. I meant what I said, and I said what I meant. An elephant's faithful 100%. When I begin to read this, I felt like the Holy Spirit asked me, "Will you be that faithful? Will you be faithful through the storm? Will you be faithful when the seasons change? Will you be faithful when they slander you?" And most of us, unlike Horton, have a breaking point to our faithfulness. Come on, let's be honest. Today I want to talk to you about the fruit of the Spirit of faithfulness, which is only provided through the Holy Spirit. Because the type of faithful that will look at somebody trying to threaten you and stay when you know God said to stay, it can't be good intentions. It has to be something that is empowered by Him. So today I want to set the foundation for you so that you can be faithful. Somebody say 100%. I'm not just talking about being faithful to the things you can see and the things that people know. I'm saying being fully faithful in every season, no matter what happens. And this, watch this, is hard to do. And this is why God is telling us you need the Holy Spirit. You want to be married? You need the Holy Spirit. You want to work the job? You need the Holy Spirit. This is not just about speaking in tongues. This is you getting the ammunition you need to actually be everything that God has called you to be. So when I look at this, there's a couple things that I have to realize. Right now, point number one, God is faithful. I just need to start with the foundation. Say it with me. God is faithful. Everybody didn't say it. You looked at me, so I'm gonna give you one more chance to do it. Everybody say it with me. God is faithful. I'm gonna prove it to you in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. I'm gonna give you some scriptures so you can go home knowing the type of God that we serve, okay? It says, if we are unfaithful, I love how this verse starts. Because it starts with my frailty. It starts with my nature. It starts with me not being able to measure up to the things that I even say I want to do. And it says, if we are unfaithful, how many unfaithful people have been in here? You made a promise to God. You said, God, if you get me out of this situation, I will never. And then you did it next week. Come on, y'all better not leave me up or I'll start calling you out. Okay. All of us in some area of our life have been unfaithful. Okay. But it says, if we are unfaithful, he remains faithful. For he cannot, watch this, I love this part. He can't deny who he is. God is faithful. It don't matter. It's who he is. So when you mess up and you go back on God, he is like, man, can't stop showing up for him. I hate you, God. You left me. You said this would never happen. And I'm walking away from you. And I'm walking towards you. Y'all missed it. God is faithful. Walk away from him. He's right there. You don't want to sing worship anymore? It's okay. You don't want to go to church no more? It's all right. Oh, you want to live an alternate sexual lifestyle? Still love you. Oh, the religious people are offended by that, but I'm not. Because I made you, and you're my child. And I can't, it's who I am. I am faithful. Until you understand the fundamental premise of who God is, you will treat him like one of your family members. Family is the beautiful thing that God has given us and also the source of most of our dysfunction. Can we be honest? Because the truth of the matter is a lot of times the people who's supposed to be faithful to you for no reason, when you choose the wrong college that wasn't their alma mater, they won't pay for it no more. So because of a decision that didn't align with what they wanted, no longer faithful. We put stipulations. So it makes us think that God's doing the same thing. And it's not who he is. Just say it with me one more time. I'm just setting the foundation. Say, God is faithful. So that means for all of us, we have to recognize God's faithfulness. Write that down. Recognize God's faithfulness. Deuteronomy 7:9. Understand, therefore, that the Lord your God is indeed God. He is the faithful God who keeps his covenant, I love this, for 1,000 generations, and lavishes his unfailing love on those who love him and obey his commands. It is in God's character to have faithfulness to not just you, but to your children's 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 children, children's children's children times 1,000. What? This is unlike anything I've seen on earth before.
Exactly.
Because you need to know who God is and how he operates. So once you watch this, understand and recognize God's faithfulness, write this down. You need to receive God's faithfulness. I know I'm going quick because I'm trying to set a foundation to get you to the point. Somebody say, God is faithful. And I have to recognize God's faithfulness. Come on. And I have to receive God's faithfulness. These are the scriptures that make me happy that God is God and I'm not. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. Did he just put in a clause for all of my mess ups, no matter what? This is the God we serve. If you're dealing in sin, he says, I will forgive that because I'm faithful. One thing I need you to do, confess it to me. Confess you have this issue. Confess you have this problem. Confess that sin has been ravaging your life. If you give it to me, I will forgive you. Why? Because I'm faithful. They may not forget, but I will. I tell you, when you give me your sins, I'll ball it up and I'll throw your sins as far as the east is from the west. They might not forget, but I will. Y'all don't hear me. The only reason he can do this is not because he's just nice and kind. It's because he's faithful. Okay. And some of you, by the end of this service, are going to receive God's faithfulness. That's the reason you're here. The enemy's been trying to convince you you've done too much wrong. And God's saying, this is my MO. You've not been faithful? Beautiful. Bring it to me. Because I'm the only one that is faithful to forgive your sins. Let me give you one more that really helped snatch me out of pornography, that really helped me snatch me out of lustful thoughts and living in secret. Watch this, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 13. I'm trying to give you what worked for me, because until I received that God was faithful for my life, I was always trying to work to do what I could not sustain. I was always trying to work and to prove and to make all these accountability structures to do what it wasn't in me to do it. Because my nature was nasty. Okay, I'm being too real today. If you be honest, what you think without God, what you say without God, what you search without God, your nature is nasty. But that's why God says, bring all that to me. 1 Corinthians 10, 13, there is no temptation that has overtaken you except what is common to man. What does this mean? You ain't the only one going through that. And you ain't the first one that dealt with that. And you won't be the last. This is, everybody say common. And God is, say it with me, faithful. Watch how he's faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. There's a couple things I need you to extract from this. Number one, because God is faithful, he's not going to let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. So any temptation you find yourself in, even if it was made by your nasty nature, he's saying, we can get out of this. Any mess that you're in, you can still win. This is messed up right now, but I'm about to provide a way of escape for you. But the only thing you got to do is take it. And most of us, when God is being faithful to have somebody call your phone at 11:39 that butt dialed you while you was about to walk into that house, you know you had no business to be in. And you see it. And God, mama, why is my mama calling me right now? It was a way of escape. You sent the email with your resignation and hit the enter button hard. And for some reason, Return to sender. Boo. He was trying to send you a way of escape. I just wonder how many ways of escapes we ignore. Your whole iPhone shut off. I mean, you was about to do something that was going to be reckless and lead you down a hole that would rob you of a future with your children. And your phone just went black. And you, where's the charger? Looking everywhere, gone to the store to buy a new charger to participate in sin. You about the power to sin. But what did God do? Many times the inconveniences that frustrate us are the way of escape that God is trying to provide for us. Stuck in traffic. You wasn't supposed to be there. Okay, let me stop. God is faithful. So I will recognize his faithfulness. I will receive his faithfulness. And last thing I want to tell you, because this is where I got to camp out today. Because all the songs we sing about God being faithful, we kind of put it out on him. Like, God, you're faithful. God, you're faithful. God, you never fail. You sustain. You all this stuff. But what I found out studying this fruit of the Spirit and this receipt we all need, faithfulness is not just for God. So if you think God wants me to be faithful and all you think about is how he's faithful, you've only got half of the revelation. Because what God wants us to do, write this down, is reflect God's faithfulness. Not just recognize it, not just receive it, but what's the last thing? Reflect it. See, the thing is, he's been faithful to us. And so now, I need to posture and put my life in a perspective. You can't see my face from here. But at the moment I put up something that can be a reflection, there are groups of people that are able to see something brand new, a different perspective, because I'm reflecting now what is here. And so now there are people all over the world trying to figure out, how am I gonna understand who God is and where he is and what he's supposed to do in my life? And God's saying, they may never see me. But what if the only faithfulness they get is a reflection of my faithfulness to them through you? Not just recognizing God is faithful. Oh, he's so faithful. Oh, God been faithful. Great. Oh, I receive his faithfulness. I don't got to be. I'm free. I'm free. But when's the last time that your reflection of God's faithfulness was the thing that drew somebody else to him? How have you been consistent? Have you been loyal? How have you been faithful? If I don't reflect faithfulness, it may mean I need to spend some more time with the Holy Spirit. I wish he didn't put it in the 9 fruits of the Spirit. Because it's easy to talk about how faithful he is. The sun and the moon every day. The tide comes up to a certain point. He's faithful. And God says, everything that I put into this earth that goes clock, that you can set your clock to, he said, that's what I want every believer to be like. In a discouraging situation, I want people to be able to set their clock. They're about to encourage me. They are faithful to encourage in hard situations. When somebody is in need, I want my church to be faithful to give when somebody's in need. I want to see faithfulness in the lives of every believer. And today I'm asking you, are you actually faithful? 2 weeks ago, I took my wife on a date night to see the Michael Jackson Broadway experience that came to Tulsa, and it was phenomenal. And it was so good that actually some of the talent came to church on Sunday in the morning, and then we took our daughters back that night. And so I'm sitting there about to doze off the second time, not because of the performance at all. It's because I was super tired. I had preached in the morning. I had done all the other stuff. And so I'm about to doze off, and they start singing this song called I'm Starting with the Man in the Mirror. And the Holy Spirit began to convict my heart in that moment as I was listening to that song. And I went back and looked up the words, because, you know, half the Michael Jackson songs, we don't know what he'd be saying. You know what I'm saying? I'm a vegetable. I'm a vegetable. I don't know what that brother, I don't know what kind of diet he was on when he wrote that. So I went to look up the words. And again, God's just been speaking to me through things. And I know this may not be churchy for enough for some of y'all, but I ask God, like, speak to me through everything. Show me yourself. Like, I don't know how to do this. I may not look up the right scripture. So as I'm faithful in spending time with you, you can speak to me outside of my quiet time. You can speak to me outside. Speak to me through everything. And when I looked up the word, he said, I'm starting with the man in the mirror. I'm asking him to change his ways. And no message could have been any clearer. If they want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and make the change. This is transformation, church. And maybe all of the change that we want to happen in the world starts with the man. So today, as we talk about faithfulness, I don't want anybody else to look at your spouse, to look at your kids, to look at that crazy neighbor you have. Today, I want you to pick up your own spiritual mirror and say, I know I've done some good stuff, but have I been faithful? Have I been faithful enough? Not just to God. See, this is the problem. Faithfulness, all of these fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, people, it's not just to give love back to God and joy back to God. It's supposed to be fruit that other people. So I never thought about it like this, but my faithfulness should be nourishment to somebody else. Y'all missed it. The way that I conduct my life, the way I show up and serve, the way that I give to people, the way that I love, the way that I treat my wife, that should be a reflection of my relationship with God. And the truth of the matter is, culture is fighting faithfulness. There is no place in your life where anybody's making you be consistent. You need no contracts for cell phones no more. Matter of fact, your new company on your cell phone plan will buy out your old contract. Because they're telling you, don't be faithful to them. Come to us. Now, I'm not sponsored by any cell phone company telling you this. I'm just saying there are so many places in our life where we don't have to stay with the same thing no more. Think about it. Where in your life is faithfulness being developed? Okay. So today, the title of the message is very simple. I'm starting with the man in the mirror, reflecting God's faithfulness. And I want to give you a definition of faithfulness. I'm almost done. I just want you to self-evaluate today. Am I letting the Holy Spirit work in me the fruit of faithfulness? And if not, I may need to surrender. Watch this, surrender. Because getting more fruit doesn't mean that I work harder. Getting more fruit is I surrender faster. Getting more fruit in your life is not like, oh, I gotta do this, and I gotta do this, then I gotta read that book, then I gotta go here, then I gotta, no, it's, I surrender the soil of my heart, God. I surrender this soil. Whatever you want to plant in it that is going to produce the fruit in my life that I'm supposed to, I surrender. I'm not going to pluck up anything that you put there, but it is my responsibility to get these weeds and these distractions and these things out of my heart that keep trying to choke out the words you are planting in my heart. So, Father, I need more faithfulness. I am not consistent in anything. I say one thing, I do the other. Holy Spirit, I surrender to the processes and the plans and the people and the accountability and the structures. Faithfulness, it means steadfast loyalty, consistent ability to stand firm. A steadfast, that elephant is in a branch sitting on an egg that's not his. And he kept saying, the only reason I'm doing this is because I meant what I said. And I said what I, he stood on business. He had a steadfast loyalty, watch this, to somebody that wasn't even loyal to him. He told him he was going away for a second, that bird was gone. If you read the story, that bird was flying everywhere, having a vacation. Why? Because it wasn't about what they do. It's not about what they say. It's not about how consistent they are. That's why when you're on teams and be like, well, nobody else is running laps. What was the instruction? What was the steadfast loyalty that you made? And most of us only want to be faithful when there's a crowd. I gotta say it, that faithfulness to God is usually authenticated in the dark. When nobody sees you, that's when God calls it faithful. Okay, all right, I gotta keep going. And some people are thinking, okay, Pastor Mike, how do I get this steadfast loyalty? How do I get consistent ability to stand firm? And I know even your mind is going right now because there are a few different people in the room right now. Some people are thinking today, I'm faithful a little bit. Like I'm, I'll be faithful to serve. I'm faithful a little bit. And then there's other people in the room that say, I'll be faithful in a little bit. You think you have time to grow into faithfulness. Like, I'm young, man, you know what I'm saying? I'm doing my thing right now. That's why people have 3 and 4 marriages. Because many times, the quality of the commitment they made at the altar, already in their mind, it was able to be broken when they said it before God. Y'all know it. We don't say it. But there are certain people that stand there and say, yeah, till death do us part, or you make me mad enough. In sickness or in health, or until I get sick of you. They never say it, but it's so when you already think that the covenant has the opportunity to be broken, you did not have the faithfulness that you needed to commit like that. That's why I be telling young couples, like, hey, if you ain't ready to be faithful when you don't feel it, just keep dating. No, hear me. That's why, if you're not ready to be faithful when it's, watch this, not fair. Faithfulness does not take into consideration if it's fair. I can't tell you how many times I don't feel like doing this. And I be telling God, this is not fair. And he said, will you be faithful? Yeah, I will. Everybody open up your Bible to week 98. Somebody say, I'm going to be faithful. If I was saying, I'm going to have $1 million, I'm going to be a business owner, I'm going to be an entrepreneur, you would be loud, proud, screaming, believing God, writing on your crazy fruit card. But I'm going to be faithful. Why is faithfulness, why doesn't it make us excited? I think we've hit something that the body of Christ is missing. A fruit that is required of us to be able to get everything that God wants us to get at the end of our life. What is the thing that we're hoping that he says to us? Well done, my good and if it is what we want to hear from God in the end, how much work are we putting in to the faithfulness category of our life? Some of us will be able to say, well done, my good, and put in your blank. Uh-oh, good and lazy servant. I'm just saying, can faithful be in there for you? This convicted me so hard and made me start appreciating the consistencies of my life that I have not enjoyed up until this point. Oh, God. All right, I got to get out of here. Matthew chapter 25, 23 is where you can find that scripture. It says, well done, my good and faithful servant. Watch this. You have been faithful in handling the small amount. So I want you to see, remember I said there's a few people in here. There's some people in here that say I'm faithful a little bit. And then there's some people in here that say I'll be faithful in a little bit. But the truth is all of us should be faithful in the little bit. In the little bit of responsibility God gives you, be faithful. In the little bit of money you got, be faithful. In the little bit of friends group that you have, be faithful. Because this scripture says God judges how much he gives in increase based on how you were faithful with the little bit you started with. Are you faithful with those few contacts? Are you faithful in that serving position? Are you faithful at that job that they don't recognize you? God said, you're not working for them. You're working for me. So the question is, this is how we're ending today. Why would you be faithful? And when I begin to ask myself this question, I had to really dive deep into my heart to try to speak this message because there are certain things that I feel like I've been faithful in, but my heart motive was wrong in it. I know most pastors won't get up and tell you like the word that's actually working on them, but this one whooped my tail. Because the Holy Spirit didn't just say, are you faithful? He said, why are you faithful? And so I begin to jot down a few reasons why I've been faithful and maybe a few reasons why you've been faithful. And I wrote it down with this title, what fuels your faithfulness? And I want you to ask yourself this, because the first one I wrote down is there have been seasons in my life that I was faithful because of fear. Is the reason you're faithful because of fear? I can think of so many times where I did the right thing because I was scared of what would happen if I did the wrong thing. And you know what? I'm not mad at that. It has kept me a couple times. But at some point it broke. That the cravings of my flesh outweighed the fear. And so I would do things that I once was fearful of, and I actually reaped the consequences of them because I did not have a resolve in me to be faithful that was stronger than fear. And so I'm telling you, you may be doing all the right things right now because you don't want to get in trouble. But at some point, that won't hold you no more. I'm telling you, as sure as I'm standing here right now, you only being faithful to your wife because you don't want to see what she going to do. She crazy Hispanic woman and she'll cut your stuff up and da, da, da. Y'all know we have all of these crazy ideas. You don't mess with this type of person. You don't do this stuff. Fear will only hold you. If you are faithful only because of fear, today I want to ask you to reconsider a better way to be faithful. Second thing, some people are faithful only because of feelings. Some of us feel like being faithful at times. You know what? I'm going to stay consistent at this. I'm going to be loyal with this. And you know what I'm saying? I'm going to be steadfast at this. Man, this is a great job. Like, God gave me this opportunity. I'm going to be everything He told me to be right here. I'm going to stay planted. I'm going to be right here. I'm going to be His light shining to the world right here. They don't have to promote me. They don't have to give me anything. They just can really look over me because I don't do this for anybody but Him anyway. And this is my moment to be faithful in the dark and be with You, God. Here I am, Lord. Use me. Some people are faithful because they feel it. But what happens when you don't feel it no more? Come on. Some people change churches so often because they ain't feeling what the pastor preaching right now. But God planted you at that place, saved you, delivered you, healed you, transformed you, challenged you. But it's a 6-month season that you ain't feeling how I ain't feeling what he wearing either. Well, look at them pants, they too tight. And it's got multiple colors on it. And people go into things about their feeling. Will you be faithful when you don't feel it? I'm just asking you right now. Because I had to ask myself, is my faithfulness only when I feel it? Am I only faithful to encourage people that I like when I feel like there's something, you know what I'm saying? And then when it's not like that no more, I'm not doing the thing God told me to do. Okay, I'm just going to give you, what fuels your faith? Is it fear? Is it feelings? Watch this one. Some of us have only been faithful because it was forced on us. I know people who were raised in families that, hey, your last name is Johnson. Oh, come on, y'all. And Johnsons do blah, 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 blah. And Johnsons never do dot, 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 dot. And some of us, 39 years old, 50 years old, are still held in place because they dead. From the grave, you still hear them say, but you are Johnson. And God's asking you to do something else. He's asking you to trade the operating system. To still be faithful, but don't be faithful because you were forced to. You need to be faithful for a better reason. And this one was the one that God really had to get me. He said, Michael, a lot of times you've only been faithful because you wanted favor. You were faithful because you wanted a favor. There's some of y'all that are in business with people right now. And the only reason, oh, yeah, brother, that's, oh, man, yeah, I love that idea. Yeah, 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 that's great, bro. Like, yeah, yeah. And the only reason you're doing that, because at some point you know you're going to ask them for something. What you are called is a manipulator. I just want you to know, if the only reason you are faithful to a friendship, faithful to a ministry, faithful to a spouse is because of what you get it as a favor, you are working in manipulation. And I know nobody wants to hear it, but I'm not faithful, watch this, to get a favor from God. He's already been faithful to me. It should be the reflection. It should be my response. But if I give so God can give to me, no, he said, that's a principle I would love for you to give just because I said so. I would love for every time I ask my kids to do something, they would do it because they understand the value that their father's voice has in their life and all that I provided for. But every time I tell them to do something, it's like, what you gonna do for me? What? Look at the clothes you got on. You see that light? Oh, you want a drink of water? But because God is faithful, he lets us stay in that ignorance. Until we get a revelation. What I found out in my walk with Jesus is the best reason, write this down, to be faithful. It's because I'm free and it's fruitful. When I'm faithful, God says, it proves you're free. That you know who's done this for you and you trust them. And if you sow seeds of fruitfulness into somebody else's life, he said, it's going to actually produce so much fruit that you're not even going to be able to contain this. But I need you to do it, not because you're getting something back. I need you to do it because I've already done something for you. I've already proven this is my character, and I want you to reflect me. It was 2018, January 8th. I'm 3 years into pastoring Transformation Church. There's probably about 450 people coming to the church. I'm feeling a little discouraged because I don't know how to grow the church. I ain't never done nothing but gone 6 months to TCC. And I felt unqualified to stand in the position that God called me. I'm sitting here with people that are still in the room right now just asking God, what am I supposed to do? Do you see me? Is this worth it? And we had some friends from Church on the Move come by that Sunday. It's a church in this city that's been going for years. And they had a transition from the father to the son. And the son with George, I knew who he was. And we had some great interactions. And without calling me, talking to me, doing anything, he sent his outreach director over. And they handed us, as a church, a check for $20,000. This was unsolicited. We didn't have a building campaign going on. There was nothing. It was almost if in that moment, God used somebody else's faithfulness to prove his faithfulness to us. And when I tell you around Transformation Church for the whole year, that $20,000 might as well have been $2 million. The way it lifted our spirits, the way that we celebrated, the way that I cried and said, God, thank you for seeing us. It was just an affirmation that God was like, I'm faithful. But he used somebody else's faithfulness to prove his faithfulness to us. Church on the Move on that Sunday was a reflection. And so 2 years later, when God changed our situation, 2018, when I was about to give up, was the year that God was about to blow everything up. It's just right at the moment you're about to give in, right at the moment, I want to encourage somebody, right at the moment you're about to throw in the towel, it might be the precipice of the biggest breakthrough you're ever going to have. It was right there. January of 2018, we didn't even know what was happening. All the sermons were going viral. People were doing all this stuff. I was in the middle of a glow up that I couldn't feel. I couldn't feel what God was doing, but I still had to be faithful. So 2 years later, God changed our financial position as a church. And one day I said, you know what we're going to do? We're gonna give back to Church on the Move. They were faithful to God and faithful to show us faithfulness in that moment. And in fact, we're gonna double it. And 2 years later, we gave Church on the Move back for their missions cause $40,000. That's what we did, Transformation Church. That's beautiful. But watch this. After we gave it away, God said that wasn't a reflection. That was reciprocation. I appreciate that. That was honor. You gave where you got it from. But I ask you in your faithfulness not to just give it back to the one who gave it to you. I want you to be a reflection. So 3 weeks ago, as I'm sitting in a meeting, I told the team, I said, y'all was in prayer this morning. And I feel like the Holy Spirit is calling us to be a reflection to other emerging churches around this world. And they said, what are you feeling, Pastor Mike? I said, I believe we're supposed to give that same $20,000 seed that was given to us in 2018. We're supposed to sow it into 30 other churches. Y'all don't know the right place to rejoice. So I'm talking about being a reflection. So this is what we're going to do as a church today. We're going to be faithful. We're not going to to keep what God's given us to ourselves, we're going to be a reflection of his faithfulness. When God saw us, he spoke to Church on the Move. And because Church on the Move and their partners have been faithful in giving and sowing and being intentional, it blessed us and showed us God's faithfulness. God said, I don't want you to just do it for one. I want you to do it for 30. So y'all get ready to rejoice. I know some of y'all got to leave. But First Baptist Mohawk Church, Reverend Emmanuel L. Collier here in Tulsa, there's a check for $20,000 coming to you. New Heart Church, Pastor Ben and Jessica Comer here in Tulsa, there's a $20,000 check coming to you. La Mission Church in Mesa Vision, Pastor Misiel and Kyle Gonzalez here in Tulsa, there's a $20,000. Y'all don't know how to shout. Presence Theater Church, Pastor Alvin and Sonola Fruge in Owosso, there's $20,000 coming to you. Agape Church, Pastor Chad Ketcher in Sand Spring, there's $20,000 coming to you. Friendship Church in North Tulsa, Pastor Jamal Dyer, there's $20,000 coming to you. A reflection of God's faithfulness. But watch. This only happened because y'all been faithful. I need y'all to get this. This is not the church doing everybody who's given one penny to this organization. It didn't go into some frivolous thing. It's being used to prove God's faithfulness. None of these people know this is happening. If y'all know any of these people, text them, because they don't know. It's happening right now. And who knows what they prayed yesterday or this morning or how they feel unseen or overlooked. But because of the faithfulness of God's people, somebody gets to see God's faithfulness. Overflow Church in Minnesota, Pastor Luke and Joran Chaffin, there's $20,000 coming to you. One Church, Pastor Fillmore and Caitlin in Seattle, there's $20,000 coming to you. Sozo City Church, Pastor Long and, oh, I can't even pronounce y'all name. Pastor Longs and Christine McCall in Chicago, we gonna send it to you, okay? Some of y'all parents was naming y'all interesting. Here we go. New Hope Church, Kalui, Pastor Kippy and JC in Hawaii. And then New Hope Maui, Pastors Dwayne and Janet in Hawaii, $20,000 is coming to you. The Tabernacle in Chicago, Pastor David Wilford in Illinois, $20,000. All In Church, Pastor Ricky and Melissa in California, $20,000 is coming to you. The High Praise Church, Apostle Jack Mildkiff in Tennessee, $20,000 is coming to you. Shell Church in Florida, Pastor Salome and Marina, it's coming to you. Now listen. Somebody said, why don't you just put all their names on the screen and we can cheer one time? The reason I'm doing this, because sometimes people need to know individually that God sees them. And the question is, will there be a church that actually celebrates everyone? And I'm not just talking about in this moment. I know you may have something wrong with your hands. You can't clap. You have something wrong with your voice. You can't. Okay. But the heart posture to celebrate with those you may never be able to see. To actually be thankful like it was happening to you. Being faithful over the little part that we play in this is we gave and now we get to rejoice. And some people, watch it, some people won't be faithful in this moment. And God's watching this moment to see if you will be faithful over much. So I'm like, well, it's just $20,000. Okay. Today. Okay, let me stop. Iglesia Centro de Vida, Pastor Olivia and Olga Springer here in Tulsa, $20,000 is coming to you. Rue Tampa, Pastor Isaac and Vanessa in Florida, $20,000 is coming to you. Rain Church, Pastor Billy and Nicole Sweeney in Colorado, $20,000 is coming to you. New Generational Church, RVA, Pastor Mike and Danielle Hathaway in Virginia, $20,000 is coming to you. Y'all text these people if you know them. Rhythm Church in Chicago, Pastor Chris Griffin, Illinois, $20,000 is coming to you. Uncommon Church, Bishop Mitchell and Pastor Dana Blue in North Carolina, $20,000 is coming to you. I only got eight more. Community Bible Church in Odessa, Pastor Shane, $20,000 is coming to you. Harvest Church International, Pastor Brian and Kelly Cuff, there's in Oregon, $20,000 is coming to you. Fountain of Life Church in Rubia, Soze, and Cesar Augusto in Florida. Sorry, y'all. Purpose Life Church, Pastor Hetson and Cherise Williams. You from that church in New York? $20,000 is on the way. Way Church, Pastor Noah Heron in Tennessee. $20,000 is coming to you. Hallelujah Tabernacle, Pastor Manasseh and Sandy in Florida. $20,000 is coming to you. Evolve Life Church in Atlanta, Pastors Mike and Shamika Owens. $20,000 is coming to you. Collective Church in Omaha, Pastors Drew and Morgan. Say it. Oh, y'all know them. Milligan. $20,000 is going to you. Home Church in New Orleans, Pastors Stephen and Laura Daigle. They're $20,000 coming to you. And True North Church, Pastor Daniel and Michelle Hines in Virginia, $20,000 is coming to you. Can we praise God as a church? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. And thank you, Lord, that we can be a church that reflects your faithfulness to others. Last point, being faithful to others means that you can't forget how he's been faithful to you. I had no reason to remember what Church on the Move did after all the miracles that God did, except it was a moment of God's faithfulness to me. And because I didn't forget it, it sparked something in me to be faithful to others. That's why in the middle of a bad situation, we can sing, great is thy faithfulness. Said, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed thy hands have provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Before everybody leaves, would you just look at me? I'm asking you this week to intentionally surrender to the Holy Spirit, for him to show you the places and the spaces you need to be more faithful. The reason I didn't give you a list of things, because it's going to be different for all of us. For some of us, it's going to be faithful in how we eat, because you can't fulfill a purpose if you're not here. Okay, let me stop. I'm just saying, some of us, it's going to be faithful in our finances, faithful to show up for your family, faithful to actually be a good friend. What if that song could not just be sung to God? Great is your faithfulness. What if God could sing that song to us? Great is your faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies. I see it in you, boy. I see. Like, what if it wasn't just his faithfulness to us? What if it was the reflection of his faithfulness to people at that workplace, to the people at the record company, to the people who have nothing to give you back? There will be no advancement from what you do. There will be no come up. Would you still be faithful? And today there are areas in my life that I'm saying, God, I still need you to work on me. Come on, can y'all be honest with me in this place? If there is an area in your life where you're saying, God, I need this fruit of faithfulness to be worked in my heart at another level, would you just lift your hands? I want to pray for all of us. Come on. Yeah. Father, today, here we are asking you to make us more like you. Father, my nature is to be faulty. My nature is to be unsure. My nature wants to switch things up and do things, Father God, in a way that's not consistent. But today, part of your character is being consistent and steadfast and loyal, something that lives can be built on. Father, will you make me more like you? Whatever generational patterns or beliefs I have to give up to be more like you, today I surrender. Today I'm asking you, Father, would you do a work on the inside of me? Holy Spirit, speak to me. Develop in me the things that culture could not develop in me. The things that program couldn't do in me. Holy Spirit, we know this is a fruit that comes from you. So today, Father God, I thank you that you'll show up in my life. Show up in my marriage. Show up in my job. Show up in my career. Show up, Father, in the way that I obey you inside of church and outside of church. I want to be faithful to you. And as a reflection, I want to be faithful to others. God, I thank you for strength coming to people who have been tired of being faithful. I thank you they'll get that Horton holiness. That they'll make a decision to say, no matter what goes on, I meant what I said, and I said what I meant. Michael Todd is going to be faithful 100%. Have your way in us today is our prayer in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Give him a big clap of praise right now. Hey, listen. Listen. Remember at the top of the service, I said that we have to recognize that he is faithful, but then we have to receive that he is faithful. There are some people under the sound of my voice that have never received his faithfulness because you've believed the lies of the enemy or even people that said you need to change before you come to God. If you could have done that, you would have already done it. But you need him to do that. He's the only savior that doesn't tell you to just do rituals to be close to him. He said, I'll come down and I'll get you. All you have to do is receive me. And if you're in this room and you've been living your life for yourself and you've been far from God and you feel like you got too many habits, too many addictions, too many things, ooh, my pastoral heart is going out. Somebody's life is in the balance right now. You've been going around in circles and you're tired. You've been thinking about even ending your life. Today, God is coming to rescue you. And all you have to do is, somebody shout at me, receive. So all you have to do is say he is faithful to forgive your sins. Even when you still doing it, knowing that it's the wrong thing. He said, I'm faithful to do what men can't do for you. Just receive me. And today I just feel that there are several people in this room and watching online, potentially hundreds, that need to make Jesus Christ your personal Lord and Savior. This is the only reason I'm here. The only reason I'm here is because God's been faithful to me. I could have been locked up. I could have had kids everywhere. I could have been running from God's, like, y'all, I was messed up, addicted to pornography, lying, manipulating, doing all these things. And God was like, could you bring me that? And I'm not going to just judge what's going on here. I'm going to transform what's going on here. Today, I want to give you that same opportunity. I'm not a perfect man, but I am a progressive man. I thank God I'm not where I used to be. And it's because of the mercy of God that he's shown for me day after day, because he is faithful. And today, I want you to receive faithfulness. If that's you, on the count of three, I just want you to lift your hands. If you're in the room, you're online, if you're sitting next to somebody, I want you to just lift your hands and say, today, I want to receive Jesus. Because when you receive his faithfulness, you can't never go back. You can try. And some of us been running from him for a long time, but there he is. He's a peekaboo. He's right there. He's going to always be right there. And today, this is the thing you've been looking for. One, you're making the greatest decision of your life. Two, I'm proud of you, but more than that, your name is about to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and there's about to be a party. If you want to receive Jesus, three, shoot your hand up in the air right now. I see you. I see you. I see you, my sister. I see you, my brother. Come on, right there. Y'all, how do we celebrate what God is doing? This is what it's all about. Would everybody stand? And let's pray together for the benefit of those who are coming to Christ. We're a family. Nobody prays alone. Somebody say, God, thank you for being faithful to me when I wasn't faithful to you. Today, I ask you to be the Lord of my life. I believe you lived, you died, and you rose again with all power just for me. Today, I give you my life. Change me. Renew me. Transform me. I'm yours. I will be faithful to you. And I will be a reflection of your faithfulness. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we turn up with all of heaven right now? Come on. The Bible says if one person gets saved, it's a turn up for the whole place. Today we love what God is doing. Hey, listen, if you made that decision for Jesus, I'm gonna ask you a couple things. Number one, can you scan the code on the screen? We want to send you some information and we want to walk with you. Number two, I'm asking everybody in this church, y'all, if you're missing Wednesday nights and the prayer party we are having with Bible study, you are missed. There is something happening, and I'm asking us, some of us need to finish this year strong. And I want you to finish it in prayer. And the last thing I want you to know is that we love you. The fact that y'all came out in the storms and in the rains and made your way and had to do all this stuff, I love this church. And this year, we're gonna see God do miracles, signs, and wonders in this place. And if you need prayer for anything, I wanna let you know the worship team's gonna worship for a second. And we're going to let you just stay here. You can come to the altar. There's prayer in the back. We want you to connect with somebody here. But I just feel that God wants to heal some people through worship right now. And we're going to just create the space for that. We love you. We believe in you. There are prayer and altar workers up here. These are people that are just like you, been through all kinds of stuff. They're not perfect people. They're people that will agree with you in prayer. And the Bible says this very simply. If two or three are gathered in his name and they pray about anything, there are husbands and wives that need to just come pray with somebody. Do not leave this prayer without getting the prayer that you need. Today, I believe that God's going to do something specific. The thing I'm asking everybody lastly is I want us to pray for our nation this week. Now, hear what I'm saying. We've been covering it, and I've been praying on Wednesday night, but I would like everybody, if you can, I want you to start praying right now. We want to see God glorified, no matter who is in office. And I need Transformation Church to make up a decision right now. And it's going to challenge you. Whoever wins, elephant or donkey, I need you to be committed and faithful to praying for whoever that leader is. Ooh, you've talked so bad about them on your timeline. It's going to be hard to reverse all them words you already said. But the Bible tells us that we pray and believe and speak good over whoever is in any authority. So the boss you hate, do you pray for him? Pastor, you can't stand. Do you pray for them? Either we're going to be believers or not. I know it's hard. I know it's challenging. I know you're going to have to bite your tongue and pray different prayers. Like, Lord, I thank you that they alive. And just keep them there, Jesus. Like, I know. But who do we want to be more like? I'll be faithful. Jesus. There's just a sweet anointing in this place right now. There's something that I really believe that the Holy Spirit's trying to like not rush us out of. And I know we're gonna close for the stream. And if you gotta go and you gotta do it, and I know we gotta pick up our kids. But maybe this is the moment where God is like, hey, the breakthrough is in your faithfulness. The thing that you've been desiring, you're gonna find it in being consistent with this. Hey, what are they gonna do about the homeless? Take one sandwich from your refrigerator. Every day for the next year. Just one. Well, I wanna do more. No. This is not about solving the need. This is about you becoming faithful. Make that one sandwich. And take it to, like, it's faithful in the small. Could you be faithful to encourage somebody today? You need encouragement? Be faithful to sow it. Even with this crazy fruit offering, every year I start to break out in hives thinking about what God's going to ask me. I got to be honest. Like, 2024 been a different year for your boy. Certain things that I was planning to come in and do this is not like it ain't doing like it was doing. And God said, "But I've been faithful, right? So will you." I'm going to release us because I don't want y'all to say I kept y'all. It's the next week. Like, we was in church at 1 o'clock. That ain't me. It's 12:16. It's time to go. So you are dismissed. But thank you for your faithfulness, God. Something's going to change in us. I feel it changing in me. I feel it changing in us as a church. Something just broke when we gave those resources away, Tammy. Something just happened. I'm telling you, Asher, we're going to be able to mark this moment. Something just shifted. I'm getting emotional right now because of the... There are just certain things that only God can do. Certain things that having more is not going to fix. This arena being filled, it's not going to fix it. There's only certain things that God can do. Thank you for being faithful, God. And thank you that from now on, it is my duty to reflect your faithfulness. I'm not going to put it off on somebody else. I'm not waiting for somebody to start a group or a team. I'll be faithful at the little. All you need is my little faithfulness. I don't got an album yet. I'm going to write the song. I'm going to just be faithful to do that. I don't got a fashion line. I'm going to be faithful to make this t-shirt. I'm going to make the one t-shirt. I don't got a book yet. I'm going to be faithful to write this paragraph. Somebody say faithful in a little. God's about to give us faith to be faithful in a little. I don't got the team that I need to pull off the vision that God's given me, but I'm going to serve and love on and give to these. I'm going to give to these few. I'm going to be faithful. Thank you, Lord. Yes, great is thy faithfulness.
Jesus said, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by new.
Come on, just lift your hands.
All I said, great is thy faithfulness,
Jesus.
Morning by morning,
my God.
New mercies I see.
That's why we can be faithful.
All I
up the man who wrote that song. He was going into full-time ministry, and he was in ministry for 1 year, and then he got sick with an illness where he had to literally put down ministry, and he became an insurance broker. And he wrote over 1,200 poems and songs, and in the midst of his illness, he wrote, "Great is thy faithfulness." It's just one of those things that's kind of crazy that maybe the faithfulness of God and the faithfulness that we are supposed to give to others is only displayed in hard moments. It's not faithful when we feel it. It's faithful when we don't. So just want to encourage you to receive his faithfulness and then give it away. Father, bless us as you are lingering in this place right now. Thank you that as we go, your presence never leaves us. We can have this all week long. So today, God, I just bless every family, every person, every marriage, every child. Let them experience your faithfulness at another level. Today, God, we trust you because you are consistent and you always show up. And you never let us fall. You're the foundation, and that's why we build our life on you. And today we will remember that you never fail. Father, thank you that we have the best week we've ever had. We just thank you for your blessings and favor all throughout it. We give you glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name, everybody say, we agree. We expect. Amen. Go out and live a transformed life. Hallelujah.
Thank you so much for watching this message. We pray that it encouraged you. We also want to say thank you to our faithful partners and givers here at Transformation Church. It's because of your generosity that this vision has been made possible. If you'd like to partner with us in giving, you can text GIVE to 828282, or you can visit our website. Also, be sure to like, subscribe, and check out our other sermons. Now go out and live a transformed life.